Well, welcome everybody. And we're still on a journey with two Sunday services, Sunday meetings, Sunday gatherings. We're on a journey with it. We're trialing, we're experimenting, we're thinking, we're praying as to what we should do longer term. And part of our heart is that we want to make room for what God wants to do and what God is doing. We had a number of people that came to the Lord through over the live streaming time when we were in lockdown, and that's really encouraging. Really encouraging. So, and some of the people have connected in now, and that's fantastic. And so, some of them were here in the first gathering, so some of you won't have got to meet them yet. But next Sunday, we've got the opportunity to all come together. We'll be taking that screen out and a few things, more chairs and all that, and we'll be able to have a big celebration together. So that'll be 10 o'clock next Sunday. So please come to that. That'll be fantastic. Bring your friends, bring your enemies, and it'll be just wonderful. So we are, as I said, in a journey. We haven't made concrete decisions yet as to which way we're going to go, whether we're going to go back to one Sunday meeting or whether we're going to keep a form of two Sunday gatherings. So be patient with us while we figure that out. So we just want to give to the Lord right now our tithes and offerings. Those of you who've come prepared for that, or if you give by automatic payment, there's a few details up there, and that will help you if you've got a heart to give today, or if you do it by automatic payment, God bless you. It's been fantastic just to see the way people have been just so consistent in giving through this whole period, and it's just enabled us to be able to keep doing things, keep everybody paid and fed and doing all the things we've got to do, we need to do, and also push into the future. So, fantastic. So, Father, we just thank you now as we give today. Lord, whether it's online, whether it's in cash, whether it's in check, whether it's whatever dimension, whatever way we're giving. Lord, we just connect with it in our spirit. We connect with it in faith right now. It's not just a transaction in a bank somewhere, but it's actually a transaction from our heart into the kingdom, to your heart, Lord. It's our faith. It's our gratitude. It's our honor. And it's also our sense of partnership and joint heirship. Father, we just bless this offering. Bless these tithes to you today. Lord, release abundance into every household. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible with you, turn it to John chapter 14. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at a few things in relation to the person and presence, the power of Holy Spirit. And Day of Pentecost, of course, we were able to come back with two conference sessions. That was our first foray into the world of liberation. And so we were able to do that. And, of course, Pentecost Sunday, and just wonderful opportunity to speak and minister in some way. And the person and presence and power of Holy Spirit. We've got the followers of Christ on earth have an incredible advantage. We have a phenomenal advantage. The advantage would take me far too long to be able to describe. It's called the gospel. And all of its facets and all of its beauty and all of its majesty, all of its power, and all of its revelation of the goodness of God. But the gospel makes the way for us, the way of reconciliation to the Father through faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, makes it possible for us now to become people who are actually the hosts of the very presence of God himself. As John G. Lake said, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when God baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, he's not giving us something that is less than he is. He's actually giving us the gift of himself. That's a very profound understanding, a very profound thought, totally profound reality. Because we're not getting touched by a force only. We're not getting touched by just an experience only, although I believe in experience. God wants us to experience him every day in some way. And so, but it's the very presence of himself, his very own spirit. In fact, God is so jealous, if you like, of the of Holy Spirit, because it's the Father's own spirit. He's so jealous of him in that sense, not jealous of him as in he's doing something that he wants to do that he can't, not that sort of jealousy. That's based in fear and insecurity. There's no insecurity and fear in the heart of God. So this is, he's jealous of the Holy Spirit and jealous of the way he is treated. Jesus said it this way when he was speaking to a bunch of leaders, religious leaders who were saying that the works he was doing was of the devil or Beelzebub, the prince of demons. A very slanderous thing to say to the one or about the one whom Jesus was casting out the demons and healing the sick, who of course is Holy Spirit. And Jesus said it this way. He said, look, put it Chambers paraphrase. Look, you guys, if you say something about the Father, it'll be forgiven you. If you say something about the Son, it'll be forgiven you. But whatever, but what you say against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven you. Wow, that's incredible. That's a phenomenal statement. And that's got nothing to do with the covenant. That statement didn't pass away when the new covenant was activated. There's actually a fear of God that is a good thing to have when it comes to the things and the name and the person and the dimensions of his precious spirit called Holy Spirit. I don't believe that a genuine believer can blaspheme the Holy Spirit as easily as some people make out. I had to help a dear man one day many years ago who came to me. We weren't living here. We were living in Central Otago. And he was an elderly chap that would pop in from time to time. He'd love to catch up, love a bit of fellowship. He was of a particular doctrinal background that had the idea that you could blaspheme the Holy Spirit very easily and then potentially be lost. And I said to him, and he came to me depressed. And he said, I must have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, do you know what you did? No, I have no idea. I've searched my heart. I said, well, do you know what you said? I said, no, I have no idea. I've searched my heart. I said, well, do you think, realistically, I said, do you think that if you've searched your heart and if you've searched your mind and you've gone back and if you've asked Holy Spirit to show you if there's anything and he hasn't shown you something, do you think there's actually a problem here? And I had to shift him in his thinking away from that doctrine into a doctrine that was more secure. And after he saw it, the depression started to lift off. So I'm not talking about an oversensitivity and a fear thing that causes people to be ultra nervous. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where people make a deliberate decision out of a deliberate body of thinking to call the work of the Holy Spirit the work of the devil. So that's what I'm talking about. And so, but Jesus nonetheless said to these guys, in other words, you guys, you're in big trouble. You're actually attributing the work I do, the miraculous work of these people being healed, delivered and set free and glorifying God and coming into a place of liberty as children of God. And you're saying that I'm doing that by the prince of demons. You're saying that the power that works in me is the devil. See what I'm saying? It was a considered judgment. So, but nevertheless, it does reveal the Father's feeling, does reveal Jesus' feeling and regard for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is their own spirit. He's not less than they are. He's totally as they are, in essence, fully God, but he is also their own spirit. It's a mystery to me. So when you have Holy Spirit, you have the Father, you have the Son. He is the governor of the kingdom. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one who takes what is Jesus and gives them to us. He's the one who knows the fullness of the heart of the Father, and he knows our spirit as well. Gives us an incredible advantage in intercession. Amen. So let's go to this. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. And I will, this is Passion Translation. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. Well, that's a pretty amazing statement. The Holy Spirit of Truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him and know him, or know him. But you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside you. So here we have the situation as followers of Christ of being having such an advantage that we have the person of God, Holy Spirit, actually being sent to us, to dwell in us, to be one spirit with us, and to walk with us. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Has all the attributes of the Father, and that's it. Just, and we have that privilege. It's just phenomenal. It's mind-blowing. The possibilities that this means now, that Holy Spirit who filled Jesus, enabled him to do all those miracles, is now that same Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And it's an easy thing to say, and it's a nice thing to say, and it's a quick thing to say, but I don't think we think deeply enough about it. There's been some wonderful teaching in the last 20, 30, 40 years, maybe a lot longer than that really, but it's really come on to the, a bigger exposure in the last few decades of the whole issue of the identity of the believer, our identity as sons and daughters in Christ. There's been some beautiful understanding and teaching unfolded to us through this time. It's been the odd thing that's gotten a wee bit astray, but you get that anyway. But the central body of it has been beautiful, very transforming. But I believe this, there's more transformation yet, because you see, Jesus was filled with Holy Spirit. He didn't start his miracles until he was filled with Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It was the Spirit that enabled him to endure those temptations. It was the Spirit that enabled him to cast out demons, heal the sick, all the things he did. And it was Holy Spirit that enabled him to endure the cross. Hebrews says that. By the eternal Spirit, he was able to go through and endure the cross. And so Holy Spirit was involved in Jesus' life all the way through. And so that means for us, now being cleansed by the Word of God, being made holy, being declared and being the righteousness of God in Christ, because we've got faith in the Son, not faith in ourselves, not faith in our own ability to somehow get things right with God, but we're fully reliant on the goodness of the Son transferred to us, His righteousness transferred to us and imparted into us, actually, I believe. It changes our nature, actually. It's not just a position. It's an encounter. It's an infusion. It's an impartation of his very nature into us. We're partakers of his divine nature. And so it changes our very being. And so doesn't mean we can't sin? It doesn't mean that. You and I both all know that we can still experience temptation. And when we yield to that temptation, it's called sin and we need to deal with it. Sometimes we just deal with it privately. It's in our own stuff. Other times it's public or it's impacting on other people and we need to apologize, ask forgiveness, whatever the case may be. Need to clean up the mess. Anybody ever been there? Three of you? That's amazing. It's a wonder you're not all just glowing. And so how do we walk with this one who is so amazing, so powerful, who is God himself? How do we walk in this world with the one who is this other Savior, the other Paracletos, the other Comforter, the other one just like Jesus? How do we walk with him? The main advantage that the guys that work and the ladies that walked with him in those years before his crucifixion and resurrection was they were walking with somebody who had a physical body. And because we're really five sense people, often, you know, we're very body conscious, we're very physical conscious, our five senses are geared to a physical realm, it's very easy to relate to somebody who's got a body, a touchable Barry here. It's very easy to relate to Barry. He's feelable, he's smellable, he's hearable, he speaks, he walks, he moves, he, you know, you could just relate to him. He communicates from his heart. It's easy to relate. If Barry was walking beside me every day, I would, you'd build a friendship. We might get irritated with each other at times, but you know, you with me probably, but you know what I'm saying? It's easy to relate to somebody with skin on. But the reality is every one of us here is a spirit being. You have a body, but really, eternally speaking, your eternal identity, you are a spirit being. You are spirit. You're created in the image of God. You've got the same faculties and abilities in the sense of touch, sight, smell. If we were outside of our body, there's no time in our travel. We are spirit beings. Witchcraft and occultic people try and experiment with that and get into all sorts of realms that are demonically empowered or whatever and get into all sorts of trouble, and it costs them all sorts of pain in the end. But in the Holy Ghost, we also see that in Scripture. Philip, boom, one place to another, instantly. Jesus walks through a wall. Stone wall at that, not timber. Not a bit of 4x2 and jibboard. Rock. You hear what I'm saying? See, our spirit person is only in the bounds of this body and a bit of distance around it in that sense, because that's the state of our existence right now. But there's coming a time when this body, the way it is right now, is not going to serve a spirit man well. There's got to be time to depart it. And when we depart this body, our consciousness, our everything about ourselves in terms of consciousness, thought, feelings, memory, is not going to change. And we see that from Scripture. We see that when Jesus told the story about Lazarus and the rich man and where they ended up. There was communication, there was feelings, there was remembrance, there was all sorts of things went on there. Incredible, incredible story. A number of people believe Jesus wasn't telling a story. He was actually giving an actual account. And so we are spirit beings. And so when you walk with Holy Spirit, it's spirit being to spirit being. God is spirit. Holy Spirit is spirit. You can't see him with, generally speaking, with these natural eyes unless he chooses to reveal himself. And he does that from time to time. And for particular reasons. But the bulk of the time, you and I are walking by faith with somebody who is fully functional as a being, God himself, God Almighty with us and in us. In fact, so much in us, we've become one spirit in the new birth. It's phenomenal. People say, where's Holy Spirit? Duh. He's here with us. He's in us. If you're a born again spiritful believer, you can never be separated from Holy Spirit again. God would have to violate his word and violate his covenant for you to ever be separated from Holy Spirit again. And he won't do that. If he was to do that, all material would disintegrate. Because what holds everything together is the word of his power, and what's good about his word is his nature and his integrity. God has no flaw. He has no fault. He has nothing in him that would cause his word to be inoperative or lacking in any power. What challenges the word of God is our relationship to it and our attitude to it and our receptivity to it. That's what challenges the word. But the word itself has no lack of power. So God in his majesty and his purity and his magnificence, everything has its being because of who he is. So if he was to dishonor himself and his own word, everything would disintegrate. Think about that for a moment. It's just how it is. And so we see this amazing truth that this person of God, God himself, the creator of everything, has joined himself to us. And the reason he's been able to do that is because the sin that was the problem is no longer the problem, because it all got laid on Christ, and Christ suffered and died and rose again to prove that it was conquered. That it was no longer the problem. That it was no longer the point of separation. And his resurrection proves that. It's why
People want to keep him in the tomb. He's not in the tomb. People made up lies about his body being stolen, were paid a lot of money to spread the lies. But he's risen. And he's risen in demonstration of the fact that his sacrifice was totally effective. For every human being, for all time, everybody who would turn either before the cross or after and would look for the Savior, that blood, that sacrifice is totally sufficient. So the sin issue in terms of being separated from God is now in Christ totally out of the way. That's made the way for he himself to presence himself in us and truly be Emmanuel, God with us. You cannot enter and leave his presence in the sense of his actual joining with you. We can enter and leave atmospheres of manifest presence, manifest glory. We understand that. But you can never be a place where God isn't anymore. Even if I make my bed in the depths of hell, God is there. Wow. Not that I intend to do that. And so, there's four quick points. I'm going to make them real quick. Yes, do you believe in miracles? Agree with me? I'm going to make them real quick. First point in walking in relationship with anybody is acknowledgement. Nobody exists until you acknowledge them. You hear what I'm saying? You can have somebody who looks at you with longing eyes. If you're single, that's okay. But if you don't acknowledge them, they're not getting off first base. I've had guys say to me, I'd love to meet a lovely girl. Well, get off your backside, do your hair, smell nice, and get out and meet somebody somewhere. At least start a conversation. Go and acknowledge somebody. Go and acknowledge somebody. You'll figure out whether it's a good one or not. May take a moment or two. You hear what I'm saying, don't you? First step in any relationship is acknowledgement. You acknowledge their presence. Holy Spirit, first step is acknowledgement. Holy Spirit, you're with me. You're always with me. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What have you got to say about this? Is there anything you want to speak to me? Anything you want to say to me? Anything you want to reveal to me? Holy Spirit, how do we do this? How are we going to do this? Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom right now. Give me wisdom. I need wisdom right now. Holy Spirit, just acknowledgement. Holy Spirit, he's with you. He's more for us than most of us ever have come to terms with. He really is. Jesus said he would be our best friend. Just like he was a wonderful friend to those first disciples who got to walk with him in a physical manner. Now, Holy Spirit has come because the Father sent him and he will be a friend to us. It's just we got to work with the fact that he doesn't have a physical body. Who's the physical body for him? You and I are. You and I are the physical body for Holy Spirit. That's why when people come into your presence who are carrying a very different spirit, something's going to react. You may not even be aware that they're reacting, but suddenly their eyes go funny. Suddenly their atmosphere around their life starts to go cold. Suddenly an expression in their face is, what is this? Or an expression of angst in their face, hate in their face, because the spirit in them is reacting to the spirit in you. How many people have had that experience? You're just minding your own business. Suddenly there's this person looking at you as though they want to kill you. Quite fun when it happens, really. It's a compliment. Because that demon is picking up Holy Ghost in you. So take it as a compliment. So first step is acknowledgement. Acknowledge him. He loves being acknowledged. We all love being acknowledged. We hate being ignored. And Holy Spirit's been ignored far too long. In all your ways, Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him. Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Anything you've got to say about this, what do you think? Just give me some peace. Give me
just direct me here. Give me a word of knowledge. Give me something for this person that's going to really bless them. Lord, whatever the dimension is. Lord, show me this, show me that, whatever. And acknowledge, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Passion Translation says, same verse, become intimate with him in whatever you do and he will lead you wherever you go. Okay, number two, give him food to work with. What Holy Spirit works with is the Word of God. He works with the Word of God in us and he takes what is Jesus, what is God, what is God's, what is the Father's, which has been given to the sons, to the Son. He takes what is the Son's and gives that to us. He communicates that to us. So the Word of God, Jesus is the Word made flesh, dwell amongst us. The Word of God, that word that the Holy Spirit can take and impart into you is what he needs to work with. So just read the Word. Study the Word. Read the Word. Meditate on the Word. Let your heart have exposure to the Word. Let your mind be exposed to the Word. Let your heart be exposed to the Word. Let everything in you that disagrees with that Word be exposed to the Word. And let the Word reshape us. Because the Word of God is Holy Spirit material to work within us and build into us, transform us. And I'm not going to give you rules on how much time, when the time is, whether it's morning or night, midnight, 3 a.m., doesn't matter, I don't care. Just give yourself to the Word. Give yourself to a diet of the Word. Okay? John chapter 16, verse 14, he will glorify me, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he, speaking of Holy Spirit, will take of mine and declare it to you. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. So, Holy Spirit is so wonderful at bringing to remembrance things we may have actually read or meditated on or even just heard 15 to 20 years ago. You hear what I'm saying? In a time when we need it. That's Holy Spirit. That's how we work with him. So, Holy Spirit, when you get into a place where there's suddenly you feel a burden. This is number three, by the way. Burdens that can be misunderstood. I've had a number of burdens through life that I've misunderstood them. I just thought it was something wrong with me, something wrong with how I was handling something, something wrong with my emotions. And then after a while, Janet might ask me the question and say, don't you think this actually could be an intercession thing for some other situation? I go, oh yeah, it could be. You're right. You could be right, yeah. And so I might pray into it then, and then after a little while, it lifts. Why? Because it was never actually my thing in the first place. I was just picking up something or Holy Spirit was letting me experience something in some way that would help me identify with what somebody else was going through, intercede into it, pray into it, and the thing would shift. Might take a minute. It might be very quick. So Holy Spirit. So how do we walk with him? He's been communicating with us a lot more than most of us probably have ever recognized. Because we thought these feelings, these urges, I don't mean negative urges that are going to be destructive. I'm talking about a sense that something needs to be done or I need to do something or not do something. Some of these things we've just sometimes taken as being our own feelings when in actual fact it's been Holy Spirit and our Spirit speaking to us and communicating to us and is on so many dimensions, so many dimensions. Quite often, I believe, and my firm conviction is that Holy Spirit has tried to communicate with me a lot more than I've ever recognized. And the journey for me has been the journey of learning to walk with Holy Spirit and actually understand how he's communicating with me. Because there have been opportunities I've missed because I thought it was just my whatever. Or something I've actually carried for too long, thinking it was my problem, when in actual fact it was something I needed to pray into for somebody else. Some of you will know here times when there's an intercession thing comes on you for a friend who's in a crisis, and you just cannot sleep. It just sits on you and sits on you, and you pray into it. You're just conscious of it, whatever, and then at some stage it lifts. Why is that? Because Holy Spirit is working with your spirit to actually release the Word of God and to bring the plan of God to bear in the earthly situation. Amazing how he does that. It's an amazing partnership. So Holy Spirit works with us. He brings things back to mind. He fills our mouths with what to speak when in moments of pressure when we don't know what to speak. He can just release that. It's just phenomenal. I'm only just scratching the surface. Number four, final one, the nudges, the hunches, the promptings, the gut feelings. How many people have ever used the term gut feeling? What's your gut feeling on this? Well, my gut feeling is such and such, such and such. Well, that I can't say it is always, but there's probably a reasonable percentage of time it's actually Holy Spirit communicating with you. Don't do this. Don't do this. Back out of that. There's not going to end well. it might appeal to the flesh right now, to the appetites right now, but it's not going to end well. And we talk ourselves into it and so on and so forth. So Jesus was moved by inner emotions that were actually Holy Spirit. So one time he saw a great crowd of people that were hungry, that had been following him for some time, come out of the cities, Matthew 14:14, and it says he was moved with compassion. What is that surge of compassion that sometimes we feel in a situation where it's not pity, it's not sympathy, it's compassion. Compassion different. Compassion says you can do something about this. This is something that's got to have something done about. So it helps kick you into gear. So Jesus had this surge of compassion, and as a result, there was thousands of them were fed miraculously. But he felt that. He felt that. He felt it. This is what I'm trying to get across. He felt it. His walk with Holy Spirit was also what he felt come up in him. Then there was another time in John 11:33-35, where he's at the tomb where Lazarus is now buried. He's died. He's had the discussion with Mary and Martha. They've gone to the tomb. He's standing in front of the tomb. He sees the people weeping, and it says he groaned. He groaned and was anxious of spirit. Some language like that. I haven't. What did it say? He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He felt that. He felt that. He either felt what other people were feeling, or there was a sense inside of him and a sense of direction in the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna see this grief smashed. I'm gonna see this hopelessness destroyed. Just this groaning inside at the weeping and the fear and the disbelief of people. And then, of course, not long later, he tells them to open the tomb. Then he speaks, "Lazarus, come forth." But you see, that groaning inside of him was all part of the lead up to that. And so sometimes you'll feel something, there'll be something you just know, this is not right. I cannot let this be. I cannot let this thing just stay at a status quo. I remember years ago, my niece's husband had a terrible car accident, was severely brain injured. And things were looking really grim. This was in Dunedin Hospital. And he was, That thing's off, by the way. I don't have a clock. It was an angel. I'm sure it was an angel. He was in the hospital. He was in the hospital. They were going to turn the machines off. It was really grim. I remember I rang up my sister Patricia. She was down there with him, and just this groaning. It's hard to put language to it. This groaning came up inside of me. This is not going to be. And this thing just came up inside of me. And on the phone, Patricia, my sister, she must have had to hold the phone out here, because it just, this is not happening. And just prayed into that. And I can't remember how I prayed. Breaking the power of this and commanding this and releasing that. I can't remember. All I know is just really strong. And Pat was, woo, you know. And anyway, there was a massive shift in his condition. And within a while, he was released. Still had pretty negative implications for their relationship, because he was a bit angry, but then he was a bit angry before that anyway. And so I think that the relationship didn't go well in the end. But the thing is, the guy's alive. And he had another chance to hear the gospel, and he had another chance to hear about Jesus. Amen? And so he's not dead yet. So the final line has not been written. So until the final line is written, I'm just happy he was raised up. The outcome of that wasn't as the way I would have liked it initially in terms of the relationship, but he's still alive. You hear what I'm saying, don't you? So some of you,
you've experienced this. This is not to be. I'm not going to allow this. And you think, man, is that getting pushy? Is that being bolty? Yes, it's wonderful. Jesus does not mind you being bolshy with his agenda. The devil's bolshy with his. Demons are bolshy with ours. Political agendas are bolshy with their agendas. It's time for the saints of God to get bolshy in prayer and take a hold of the things that the Spirit are communicating to them and actually get some guts into the thing and let the faith arise and let the attitude arise. And we're not going to tolerate this because it's not the will of God. The will of God is the New Testament. We're going to pray for this man and we're going to see him healed and delivered. And it's not bolshy. It's attitude. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, or violent people, aggressive people, force themselves into it, the new NIV say. The North Island version. Oh, the clock's back on. What a miracle. So, there's a lot more to say about all this. A whole lot more. I'm scratching the surface. What I'm encouraging you to do, as I'm conscious myself, is to build that sense of hearing, that connection, that awareness, that acknowledgement of who is actually with us. Who's with us? Who never leaves us or forsakes us? Who wants to speak to us and minister through us? And you say, but I'm not up to that level. I'm not up to that. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. I can't compare myself with Benny Hinn or anybody. Colin Niardi. I can't compare myself with anybody. If I do, it's not good. But nor am I going to compare myself to anybody who's just starting, because that's not going to be good. So we all just want to be lifting together. We all just want to be stepping out, experimenting, giving things a go. It might be Holy Ghost, it might not. Do it in such a way that if it's not, you're not going to create too big a disaster. And you learn. Just like I learned Janet's voice. Her voice imprinted onto me eventually. In a really positive way. The Holy Spirit's voice will imprint into yours. And you'll actually hear him. And you'll know. You'll just know. The Holy Spirit's just spoken to me. And you don't have to make a big fanfare about it. You just know. Holy Spirit's spoken to me. It's what I've got to do. It's what I've not got to do. And you give it a go. You give it a go in such a way that you're not going to create a disaster. You're giving it a go. You're stretching out a little bit more. He's speaking to us a lot more than most of us give credit for. He loves us. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Son. He's so pleased to be able to walk with us. The possibilities are so exciting. He's not looking at our sin mistakes. He's not looking at our sin. He's looking at our righteousness. It's because we've received Jesus' righteousness that he's able to be with us. So he's not wanting us to be living in a cowling attitude because we're so focused on our struggles and our weaknesses, because that defeats the whole point. He's wanting us to be open with him, trusting of him, and if there's anything that needs to be corrective, we're responsive, we're quick to respond, and we walk with him in a level of fellowship that the possibilities are utterly amazing. Let's stand. Thank you so much for being just who you are, really. That's why when you look at another believer, you're looking at a miracle. And you're looking at a temple of the Holy Ghost. Goodness me. Wow. So, Father, we just thank you right now for your very precious Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you so much for... Thank you so much for bearing with us. Thank you that your patience never gives up.
You're believing in what the Father sees in us, and what you see in us never gives up. Your desire for our blessing and our increase and our fruitfulness knows no end. Your ability to pick us up when we stumble, to speak to us when we wander, bring us back onto track is just so beautifully unlimited. You're so very, very kind. The way you speak to our hearts is just so gentle. It's just so pure. So, Father, we submit to you. Holy Spirit, we submit to you. Jesus, we submit to you. Help us become more conscious and more acknowledging of your presence with us and of your leading and of your intimacy. If you're watching online and you've never received Christ and therefore you've never met Holy Spirit, I just want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ now. If there's anybody in here, you've never received Christ, you've never opened your heart to him and received him into your life as your Lord, as the one who forgives your sin and makes you a new person. If that's you, love you to pray with me. Or just come up and stand with me. Just come up and stand with me and pray and just acknowledge Christ publicly. It's a really powerful thing to do, to acknowledge Christ publicly. Sooner or later, we all need to acknowledge Christ publicly. If that's you, just come and join me. Come and stand with me and we'll pray together. Receive Christ. If that's you online, just pray after me right now. Let's all pray together just to encourage everybody else. Father, in Jesus' name, I stand before you today, recognizing my need of your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on a cross, not for his sin, but for mine. I believe that he's been raised from the dead and that he's coming again. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. And I forgive those who have hurt me. I receive you into my life as my Lord, as my leader, as my Savior. I thank you for making me your child. Thank you for welcoming me into the family. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit. I receive you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If online you prayed that with me, especially for the first time, please communicate with us. I think there'll be a little line come up at the bottom of the screen with contact details. Love to help you. Love to welcome you into a family. If you prayed that this morning for the very first time or you want to come back to the Lord, please, I'd love to talk with you. Love to pray with you some more. And it'll be absolutely fantastic. God bless you. Let's just close right now. Father, we just thank you for your power, your grace. Thank you for this week, Lord, we'll walk with a higher level of consciousness and acknowledgement of you, Holy Spirit. And let that become our norm. Let that become our new way, our new pattern. Or let us return to a fellowship that we once had, but maybe we've drifted. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. And we've gone a bit longer. And go and give somebody a greeting.